The Democratic Alliance has reiterated its call for policing powers to be placed under provincial government. The party says that this will better assist in fighting violent crimes, including gender-based violence in the country. The DA Shadow Minister of Policing, Andrew Whitfield, has also suggested a cut to the VIP protection budget by half and channel the savings to visible policing in communities. Whitfield now joins us on the line for further details. A very good morning to you, sir, and welcome.
Good morning, Elvis. Thanks for having me.
Tell us firstly, what is wrong with the current system of the centralized control of the police, and why is it that you feel the need to transfer the policing to provincial governments?
Well, I think it would be difficult to find any South African who would argue that South African police service is functioning well under the current central control. We've seen increasing centralization of government across a number of different competencies, but in the South African Police Service, what we've seen is a deterioration of policing under the current model. And the reason that the DA and the Western Cape government in particular are proposing a devolution of powers is to take the burden off the shoulders of central government, who are clearly failing to fulfill their constitutional mandate. And those are not my words. Those are the words of the National Police Commissioner, who in Parliament has now twice in the last 3 years said that SAPS is failing to fulfill its constitutional mandate. Mm-hmm. And when we are faced with such a crisis of policing, I think it is incumbent on all of us to entertain new solutions which also have international best practice examples around the world.
Now, we're asking our listeners the very same question, but one may argue that this is perhaps a ploy to cement your authority over the Western Cape government. How do you respond to that?
Well, the proposal is not just for the Western Cape. The proposal is for other provinces to absorb these powers, to become competent authorities in respect of policing, and to devolve certain powers, certain policing powers, not necessarily all policing powers, but certainly frontline policing and visible policing under the authority of provinces. And the key argument, whether you live in Limpopo, the Eastern Cape, or the Western Cape, is that you as South African citizens and voters will be able to hold your closest authority accountable. How is it possible for residents in Nelson Mandela Bay, for example, or in Cape Town or in Durban, to hold the minister accountable when he sits in Pretoria with the National Police Commissioner? So we want to bring policing powers to the people to put the power back in the hands of the people. And that is the essence of our argument. It's effectively an ideological argument at its root between centrism and federalism. And the DA as a political party promotes federalism and the devolution of powers because we have seen how the state is failing to cope with its basic requirements.
Now, the Minister of Police might argue that the country has provincial commissioners in each province, which the people of that province can turn to. So does it perhaps, do you question perhaps the political leadership of these structures and the political head, the very same minister we're talking about, Becky Cayley?
Yes, I do, absolutely. I mean, I've been questioning it for a number of years. The National Police Commissioner and the minister, for example, are struggling to work together. They are on opposite ends of a political battle inside the South African Police Service. The minister used to be the National Police Commissioner, and he thinks he still is. And so I believe that there's blatant political interference in the operations of the South African Police Service. Now, that does not mean that provincial commissioners are immune from that infection of political interference. It is infecting provinces because provincial commissioners report directly to the National Police Commissioner. They don't report directly to the provinces. And then if the provincial commissioners want to make a range of decisions, they have to run those decisions, including staffing changes, management changes, through the National Police Commissioner's office. And so for all intents and purposes, while the structure is there in the provinces, the structure doesn't have the power to police properly without interference from Pretoria.
Mr. Whitfield, as the Democratic Alliance, you've also suggested a cut to the VIP protection budget. Why?
Well, the VIP protection budget is the only item in the SAPS budget which over the last 21 years has increased. Every other item in the budget has been decreased, has been cut, As we know, the budget over the medium term has been cut by almost 10 billion rand, and that is devastating. It is taking boots off the ground. So the cuts in the policing budget are affecting visible policing on the ground that is designed to keep communities safe, while the VIP protection budget is for the cronies in the ANC and the ministers and NECs who need the protection, or say they need the protection as a tool of trade. And we don't buy that. We believe that the VIP protection service is an important service, but it is bloated, it is oversubscribed and overpaid, and we need to devolve some of that funding to the ground. The essence of the VIP budget argument is the same as the provincialization argument. Bring the resources and the decision-making powers to the people on the ground. Take the powers away from Pretoria, as they have already admitted that they are failing to uphold the Constitution in terms of Section 205, and we believe that provinces are best placed to make these decisions. And with that funding from the VIP budget, I believe we can put thousands of police officers back on the beat, on the front lines of policing, to keep our community safe.
I thank you so much. That was the DA Shadow Minister of Police, Andrew Whitfield. Now, for more on this story, we're joined on the line by the policing expert, Eldred de Klerk. But before we get there, we'll take a break and we'll come back with that story.
One night, a little boy fell asleep to the sound of singing. He almost drifted into a dream, but awoke in a nightmare. Everyone was screaming. He had been carried off by a wild animal into the dark. His gargoyle fought it back, but it was too late. It had stolen his face. Some children's stories aren't okay for them to hear, never mind live through. This is the real story of Rodwell Komazana attacked by a hyena. Visit Smile Foundation today and help make the next part of his story a happier one. This is an SABC-supported initiative.
Your vote, your ex. It's more than an ex. It's about us, our community, where we're from. It's an ex for Ikaslako, from the beautiful hills of our land to the hustle and bustle of the city. An ex for our history, our people, but mostly an ex for the spirit of our community. We need you to register so you can put an ex for your community.
Voter registration stations are only open on the weekend of 18 to 19 September 2021, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Bring your ID book or card or valid temporary ID. Check your registration status at elections.org.za. SMS your ID number to 32810 or call 0800 118000. You can also register online now at elections.org.za. Put an X for your community. Every voice together.
A message from the IEC.
Elvis Presley on SAFM.
So let's continue our discussion on the decentralization of the police. We are joined on the line by Eldred de Klerk. He's a policing expert. A very good morning to you, sir, and welcome.
Good morning, Elvis, and good morning to your listeners.
Firstly, you heard from the Democratic Alliance there. Is there a need for policing to be transferred to provincial government, do you think?
No, policing should take place at the most local level possible. This is confusing because what are we talking about? What needs to be transferred? We have a national police and we have national policy that is the prerogative of Parliament and the respective cabinet ministers. And I agree that we need a stronger public participation process in terms of ensuring that national policy permeates all the way down to local level. So I'm confused about, is this about appointments? Is this about oversight around performance? Because all of those things in the spirit of the Constitution through a participative democracy and governance, if the issue is one of governance, then we need to strengthen the participation of all of us in setting local policing priorities and ensuring that there's oversight around effectiveness rather than efficiency, which seems to be the emphasis to date. And that we can do by simply strengthening public governance at a local level rather than provincial level. My own understanding of provinces, and I'm not a political commentator, would be say that instead of 9 provinces, if you want to talk about bloated budgets, let's do it away with 9 provinces, because we're not big enough as a country to have a federal dispensation, which it seems to be what the emphasis is on. Go back to being 4 or 5 provinces and run an effective government by strengthening local government and local delivery rather than putting and making sure that national policy permeates all the way to local level. So I'm still confused as to what's been asked for here.
Uh-huh. Well, they want provincial governments to have the powers to deal with these issues because they say it will better assist in fighting violent crimes.
I'm not sure what issues we're talking about, because crime is not localized. As much as there are local threats and risk, and this has to be saying, crime is a transversal activity. We talk, whether we're talking about extortion, whether we're talking about ATMs, whether we're talking about murder, it's ensure that we bring a bouquet of resources to fighting crime. But there's another, Albert, there's another contention here, and this is the emphasis on fighting crime rather than avoiding an escalation in crime, firstly, and mitigating risk and preventing crime. Uh-huh. That is actually in the hands of local government. Yeah. Let's ensure that our people live. So it's the same when we talk about intelligence. Are we going after terrorists, and are we making sure that people have human security? So let's ensure that our people live in decent housing. Let's ensure that our infrastructure allows safe passage for people to and from work and allows them to go and play. Let's ensure that we have proper public transport infrastructure, that so that somebody doesn't have to walk miles to get to the nearest public transport node. That is where security and safety is going to come from, rather than this emphasis on crime. It's the criminogenic factors. And that, for me, is a failing of local government, including in the city of Cape Town. Uh-huh. And all major cities fail our people because we're not ensuring food security, we're not ensuring air quality, we're not ensuring consistent water supply, and we are actually not building a human security infrastructure that is actually a all of government and all of society, rather than an emphasis on more boots on the ground. There comes a point in policing where we can saturate, we can put a cop next to every person, and it still won't ensure that crime comes down. We need a leaner, meaner, and more effective police service with a less bloated top structure, and ensuring that we cap police, example, ranks at colonels, and we make sure that there's fewer colonels and generals and many more well-paid constables, sergeants, and warrant officers, that does the work, rather than ensuring that we have this, which I still don't understand. Is this about appointments? Because already at the moment, provincial government can get involved in appointments. They may not have the final say, but do they need to have the final say?
So,
because standards and appointment processes, we can have oversight of it. We can make sure that we participate in it. But the competency profile needs to be set nationally so that we have one seamless police across traffic. Let's incorporate traffic into it. Let's incorporate so-called law enforcement, which also has a bloated budget, to my mind. Let's ensure that we have a police that has well-trained, well-equipped, well-resourced, works seamlessly across all issues of crime and violence, and we need to prevent rather than just look at saying, I want a role, but I'm not quite sure what that role is.
Now, lastly, Mr. de Klerk, is IPED playing an effective role to holding the police to account for their actions?
Well, IPED definitely needs to, apart from having their own legislation and their own ring fence budget, we do need to make an assessment of where IPED is. My last discussions with IPED was that they do need to strengthen their oversight and their involvement in police internal disciplinary measures, because I think that's where the problem lies, that they are an independent adjudicator of whether police are upholding this. So we need to, two things. One, we need to broaden IPED's budget. We need to strengthen IPED's capability and capacity. And we need to ensure that they have a much more effective involvement in making sure that police uphold both the constitutional obligations, that they abide, uphold, and respect the law, but that also their policy, the lack of following prescripts and upholding their own code of conduct, there we need IPED to be part of that internal that independent adjudication of this and assessment of whether police are actually being lawful, and making sure that they do more than be able to recommend, they should be able to follow all the way through to ensure that there are effective consequences for police both breaking the law and for not upholding their constitutional obligations and for failing to uphold the dignity of all South African citizens.
I thank you so much for your time. That was policing expert Aldred de Klerk.